the sugar of ishtek gufe. We know that there's a concept in marriage called ishtek gufe, and if we're using the relationship of Klal Yisrael to Hashem, the marshal, the nimshal for that is a marriage. So then, where does ishtek gufe kick in? And we spoke about a very, very important subject called bechira, bechira chofshi. We saw the wonderful Gemara, the kindness in the Yerushalmi, where Moshe Rabbeinu was able to overpower Hashem and grab the luchos away from him. We spoke about that. We used the marshal of the king, who was marrying the simple girl, and now she grabbed the ring after she spat at him. All different facets, aspects of the expression of bechira. How chofshi is the bechira? That was really what was being tested here. Adam Arishan used his bechira to destroy the world when Lamaisi had no reason to. And Avraham Avinu uses Bechira to save the world when he had all the odds against him. Bechira isn't interested in statistics or odds. That's what's called Bechira Chofshi. It's a free, independent, creative moment. But we're not going to delve too deeply right now into the sugya of Bechira. Everybody should, because Lamaisa is outside of Bechira, you don't exist. Your guf doesn't have Bechira and your neshama doesn't have Bechira. You have Bechira when you put a guf together with a neshama. The Ramchal says you get a thing called Ruach. The Nefesh is the goof, the Neshama is the Neshama, and you are a thing that comes about when you have a Neshama and a Nefesh put together, goof and a Neshama put together. That's called Ruach, and that's Bechira. That's really where we make our lives. It's only when you make a Bechira that you're really creating yourself. Everything else is given. So Bechira is a very important subject to understand, and there's plenty places to get in touch with that and start learning about it. We're going to go a bit weiter now on the subject. Remember, we're trying to discover who we are. We're just trying to discover what our relationship with Hashem is supposed to look like, and we're trying to be ultimately megale atzelem enochim, simcha, and we're on that journey. We're going to do a few things that are peripheral to that subject, but very important and very fundamental, basic sugyas that we need to know. Okay, so I'm daf ein ches going weiter. If after being locked up at home with your kids for 2 months, chutzpah is starting to bug you. So he says here something quite startling. He says in ozus and chutzpah, there's hidden there very, very positive aspect of it. When it's aimed, when it's used for Kedusha, the correct use of chutzpah enables a person to go after Hashem with all his strength, without letting anything get in your way. Nothing phases you, nothing freaks you out, nothing surprises you. You walk with Hashem committed. He's completely independent and free to do the Ratzon of Hashem. Freedom doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. Freedom means you're unencumbered to do what you're supposed to do. Nothing that's happening outside of him limits him, because he's not limited by the swings of time, by the local fashions, by the local values. Gzeiros, shmados, v'iluim, einu moinyem mimenu milit kashe im elokav b'kol t'nai u'matzav. Obviously, there's things you can't do in the middle of a shmad, in the middle of suffering, in the middle of all sorts of different things. There's things you can't do. We're not talking about that he's not limited in his functionality, but in his ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu under all circumstances. Chutzpah gives you that ability to do that. That's how the Kala Klal Yisrael in the 2000 years of Exil and Mashiach, when things are not looking so rosy, when things are not so clear, when there's a hest upon him, that's what gives us the strength to bind ourselves, whatever that means. We have to find some working definition for that, for what Vakas, but that's my subject now. To connect and to continue to work with the chosam without any interferences. That's what chutzpah does for us. That's the inner meaning of this struggle, this battle. Negdoi, that took place neged Hashem kviyachol alkim haTorah. Hashem rotzeh litzur matzeh she'af im hu yetzeh lakachas mitanes haTorah. Hashem wanted to create a situation where even if he would want to take away the Torah from us, we call mochem anu b'koyach b'chorosena chovshis b'koyach ishtei kegufei neichel litneged lo v'neichel lakachas es haTorah mimene b'koyach v'hi tisha b'yadeinu. To say that again and translate it again, these are very, very unbelievable words he's saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create a situation where even if he would want to take the Torah away from us, nevertheless, we would have the power, Bechira, the Koyach of Ishtei Kegufei, that we would be able to stand up against Hashem, and we would be able to fight and take the Torah away from him, and it would stay in our hands, even if he didn't want us to have it. Whatever that means. That's what we see here. Kadosh Baruch Hu is busy fighting with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to get the Torah, and Hashem says, no, I'm taking the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you're not taking it from us. We're holding on to it. We'll see as we go ahead. We'll bring many examples just to try and make this a bit more real for us, what that means. Obviously, Hashem doesn't want to take the Torah away from us, but he was planting in that moment the seed which would enable us to hold on to the Torah no matter what's going on outside of us. The same is in the situation really now. The people that say, yo, you see, Hashem's angry with us, he doesn't want us to learn Torah, he kicked us out the base midrash, he doesn't want our davening, he threw us away. Nonsense. But there's laws and laws and laws and laws. That's not what's going on here. We don't know why Hashem did what he did. That's the first thing we have to understand. We don't know why Hashem does what he does. We can only look at a reality and say, oh, that's the Metzias. Now, what do I do with that Metzias? How do I now serve Hashem? And how do I do what I'm obligated to do under the new circumstances? There were people in Auschwitz that served Hashem and continued to serve Hashem under those circumstances. They couldn't do whatever they wanted. They didn't have matzah, they didn't have tefillin, but they were able to continue to maintain the relationship with Hashem and not say, oh, well, you've taken away the Torah from me, therefore I'm giving you. No, they fought for it. And it's the same today. So yeah, the situation on the ground has changed, but that doesn't mean that Hashem's not interested in us. He's giving us other ways to serve him. He's showing us that we're actually bigger than we thought we were. And he's giving us opportunities to come up to him more than what we're doing up to now, schlepping and dragging him down. Yeah, he wants us to actually come up a little bit. So he's given us other opportunities, other avoider. People that are davening at home on their own, that's a new experience. That's something that requires a lot of thought. What do I do to make sure that my tefillah is more meaningful? How do I, so there's a lot of work to be done there, but it's not, you know, well, Hashem's taken away the Torah of his own Migma, I can't learn anymore. No. It's difficult, you don't have a chavrus, it's hard or whatever, but you find other things to do. You find things that interest you in Torah that you didn't know about before. You start learning other subjects. You start finding your own expertise in a certain area of Torah. With a little bit of chutzpah, with a lot of enormous positivity that comes out of these changing circumstances. Each person knows what his needs and his challenges are at home, the kids, this, that, the whatever. It's not, each person's got his own unique struggle, and it's a very personal journey. So this power of saying to Hashem, one second, so you threw me out the shul, so you think I'm going to stop davening now? You think I'm not going to come to you? You think I'm not going to? I know everything I get and I need. I know where it comes from you. So I can't daven in the shul in a minute. So I'm going to have to work out another way of relating to you and dealing with you. And resonating with you. So that's part of this sugya that we're talking about. Lord Dwayne Ay Michael Avin Gamma Dualacha Mavak, a Kabbalah Saluch, Isolacha, Shil Amna Matsliach, Le Kablam, Dikhi Moshe Rabbeinu Lishborotam. We still haven't answered the question why Moshe Rabbeinu, after he fought for Hashem and he got the Luchos, because he wanted the Luchos, because Hashem, you're not taking the Torah away from me, I'm keeping my Torah. So why did he break it? What was the breaking about? and he did the right thing. Hashem didn't say to him, what are you doing? You battle me and fight me to get the luchos. So fine, so you got the luchos. Well done. So, and then you break them? What did I give them to you for? Well, I'm to break them? No, no, Hashem says, well done. Thank you for breaking them. So ma, what's going on here? If I'm a Isa Tachlis, Peshuas, and Luchos, and Nomin Gam, it's Haskamosa Shakosh Bochel, Edus Shurosa. First, we have to understand what the Tachlis, what was the purpose of breaking the Luchos, and then see what was so positive about it that a Kodesh Bochel said, well done. Aluchos are showing in Nema, the Haluchos, Maise Lokim Hema. Although the Sugi of Luchos is showing in Luchos Shane is massive, massive Sugi in many, many different areas of Torah. We're going to touch on one facet of it, but it's certainly something if you want to put a bit of, if you've got some free time, the Moedic Sugya, and it relates very much to the way we learned Torah today. Let's see what we come away with, and maybe we can touch on some of those aspects. On the Lucas Rishonim, it says, HaLuchos Ma'is Elokim Ha'ema. Michtav Elokim Hu Cholus Al HaLuchos. The Lucas Rishonim, we know, were Ma'is Elokim. The writing was Ma'is Elokim, engraved on the Lucas. It was Kudu Hashem. Hashem knew Shemposel Es HaLuchos. Hashem was the one that carved out, sculptured the Lucas. The first Luchos was Kula Maisa Hashem, as opposed to the second Luchos, which Moshe Rabbeinu sculptured. A Luchos HaRishonim Amru Chazal, Ilmale Lo Nishtobu Luchos HaRishonim. Listen to this. Look what we lost when the Luchos got broken. Had the Luchos not been broken, Lo Nishtachacha Torah Yisrael. You could never forget your learning. You learned something, you remembered it. You came back the next morning, you didn't have to go back and do it again because you did it. You had it. It was in the bag, you knew it. Now you could learn something new and you would remember that. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Ein kol uma v'loshen shalepes b'hem. Had the Luchos Rishon not been destroyed, no nation would ever been able to rule us. Yais v'luchos hayi oisim b'day Hashem yisbara. Since the Luchos were made by Hashem, kol ha'nem ben hayi boru v'gol lifneinu b'lo shum arvuvda. The Luchos with total clarity, and there was no mistaking, no misunderstandings. It was kulu clarity. Imagine a life like that. Who would be lost? Who remembers what they learned? If you remember it for a day or a week, you come back Erev Shavuos, you have to go learn all the lachos again. If I stayed up at night, what brachos do I make in the morning? What don't I make? But I have to learn it every year. Because I forgot. If you're not chazing your Torah all the time, whatever you learn, you forget. And you wouldn't have forgotten. You would have known everything. You'd be walking. All the suffering, tortures, what we've been through would never happen because no one would have been able to shalek on us. Just 1 second. That's better now?
Yes, yeah, that's better now. Perfect. Now we lost you, the gamut.
You mean?
Talk again?
Yeah, but I can hear very well now.
Everybody can hear me now clearly, that's better?
Yes, thank
you.
Yeah,
that's better.
I'm getting mixed message, but some people say no, some people think can hear you well.
Because you started off, you could hear you, and then you faded, but now you're back.
Yeah, okay, I'm back now. Yeah, no, I just changed servers. I was on one, whatever. This is the problem with everybody doing what we're doing. Okay, fine. It seems that I'm back on track. Okay, good. So when Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the Luchos, what we lost was this clarity of Torah, this expertise in Torah that we would have had, and also the Shibud of the Umos would never have happened. So when Moshe brings that about by breaking the Luchos, what does Hashem say, well done for? Well, what's well done about it? So that was the mind of the Luchos Rishon. Vidach Yisav, a matzav of Zeh Shal Behirus, lo yisim yiteres lekali, yizdamnut, rachir ki achein, ki chafitza b'nei v'nefesh b'nisiyon. And this idyllic utopian kind of a matzav, it's all very well, but in that situation, the kala, Klal Yisrael, doesn't ever get an opportunity to show that her commitment is unconditional. Sha'isa gilu nizkav shal maim rasina ha'imam shichu me'ir bas b'klari amiru. Because that moment at Sinai, with the clarity and the seeing Hashem in all Tokva, would have just continued on through history. V'adayin hayu mokum listapekam in gam b'matzavim kashim yam shlicha'am b'derech ha'teru v'mitoich nemonos l'Hashem. There would still be a sofik, is how would they behave if they were squeezed a little bit? When everything is going well and everything's fine and everything's just zoreming and you're learning Torah Kavaldik and you understand it and it's geschmack and you're remembering your learning and everything's good. So how do we know that you'll be loyal to Hashem when things are not going so well? So Moshe Rabbeinu understood this. Sheretzayin Shalom Yisparachu Letet LeKalev Sharut Lochiach Esatz. Hashem wants to see can the Kaleya, can Klal Yisrael prove itself? He broke the luchos. The matzav zeh titzarich hakala Knesset Yisrael. Now we, as a nation and as an individual, need to la'omel v'letoich b'lumer ha'Torah, redakteh b'kol kutzo shel yud, levar b'atzmo eskol asveikas sheyisaru lo l'golos v'l'agot esavos al avro. Now we need to, through our own toil, through our own battling, through our own working out in the gym, so to speak, we need to reveal the love and the connection that we have to Hashem through our own efforts, not because you get it automatically. Despite the fact that for close to 2,000 years we've hardly had a peaceful moment, the last 70 years since the end of the Second World War, the incredible peace that we've lived under, and we're going to discuss some of that later, is a very unusual time in Klal Yisrael's history. The rise of anti-Semitism and what's going on now, that's much more what Klal Yisrael used to the last 2,000 years. People think that this virus, this Megaifa, is something new. Rabbi Tzvi Salanter has a whole michtav about this. Rabbi Kiva Eger's tshuva is about how you have to behave in a Megaifa. This is nothing new. Go through Tanakh, you see Klal Yisrael hardly had a peaceful moment. And that all started with the luchos, the shviras haluchos, and it's there in order for us to show that despite everything, we're there, we're connected, and we're going to carry on doing what we're doing. I don't understand what a question mark is. There's a question mark without a question. That I have no idea what to do with. If you want to put a question before the question mark, I'm happy to deal with it. Fine. Okay, Moshe Ben Yavin to return it. Just 1 second. We could have to do this. Just there's a question here which looks very interesting. I don't know if I'm going to deal with it now. Oh, here we go. Yeah, you did send it. I didn't see it. Sorry. Excellent question. Brilliant question. I'm going to deal with it now. But remind me to deal with it. It's a Moedika question, and you have to ask a whole lot of other questions around that question to really deal with that question. The question was if Hashem wanted us to be in this matzav of Luchos Sheini, then why did he give us Luchos Rishon in the first place? That's an unbelievably wonderful question. We're going to be dealing with this question a little bit later when we look at the interface between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva, but I referred you to a book of Rabbi Tetzes the other day that deals specifically with that question. He's going to deal with it in the Sefer Yoreh as well a little bit later. It's a wonderful subject. It's an amazing, amazing subject, a very empowering subject. Why do you need phase one before you have phase two? That's really what you're asking. Why do you need this phase of sort of artificial inspiration where you get shown everything and everything comes easy before it gets taken away and you get to have to do it on your own? And then you get back to there, but through your own efforts. The question is really, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu have to create the world? Kadosh Baruch Hu, before he created the world, we were with Hashem. we were all part of the same neshama. We were nishmas echad all with Hashem. There we were, all together, dvekas, basking in the glory of Hashem's divine presence. Okay, that's what we were. And then what happens? We get then sent down here to grovel in this lowly world in order to earn some schar, so we can go back to the next world and be dovek in Hashem again. What do you need? That one would just stay dovek in Hashem. You're touching on a major, major sugya. The question goes all the way back to our incredible world in the first place. And we'll see. You'll see this pattern that you're describing here, the Luchos Rish and Luchos Sheni. Why does Hashem create the moon and the sun the same size and then make the moon smaller? Why was trees, the fruit and the trees tasted the same, and then Hashem punished the land and now the fruit and the trees don't taste the same? The whole sugi of Lechatchil and B'nei'evet, phase one and phase two, and it's a sugi of Zachov and Akeba as well, it touches on there. It's the sugi. Anyway, as I said, Rabbi Tess wrote a book about this, Kabbalah, to go have a look at it. But we're going to be discussing this a little bit later. You'll see. It's a wonderful, wonderful subject. It is nowhere where this dynamic doesn't exist. So, Shkoyach for the question. I've already spent too much time dealing with it because it's a question that needs to be dealt with as an entire subject on its own. And I think we have to have a bit of patience. We're going to be dealing with it fairly soon when we discuss Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Kiva. We'll see those are two very fascinating aspects of this subject. Okay, it's a good thing I saw the question mark because we could have missed that question. Okay, fine. So in the phase of clarity, you don't get a chance to actually show what you're worth. It's just everything's going good. You're like a malach. That's why the angels are lower than us, even though they may be much more spiritual and they may be open and they're more readable to them, but we're still on a higher level to them because we have bechira. They don't. We can mess up. They can't. You can't. If you can't mess up, you don't prove anything when you don't mess up. When you mess up, and when you could mess up and you don't, so that's when you reveal something about yourself. Knesset Yisrael, la'omel ulitroyach b'lim ratoyer. Now you have to toil in your Torah. You have to go over it again. You learn it, you forget it, you don't understand it. You think you've understood it, and then it falls apart, and you have to come back in it again. The daktek b'kol kutzah shel yud. You have to go and you have to mamash look at every little thing. You have to mamash. It's like nuclear physics. You've got to understand every molecule on the daf. The varav ba'atzma is kol asfeikas shis oyin ula. You have to take all the sfeikas you've got, all your doubts, all your dark, cloudy moments. You have to go and you have to work through and struggle and battle with yourself and reveal the love that you have for Hashem. But Marotch and Atanom is very firm, despite the fact that you've been pursued, tortured, pogromed, ethnic cleansed, vilified through all the years of gold. I'm a fortune pusher, it's Sivushala Kochul Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal explained like this. It says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Psal lecha." The first lucha is Hashem was possible. Hashem sculpture. The second lucha is Hashem says, "Psal lecha." Haynu sheyesh lecha. You have to make the lucha is yours. One of the simple truth is you have to go and now carve out the luchas. I'm not carving them out anymore. If I carve them out, then that says luchas rishon. We need Luchos Sheni. That means you're going to go carve them out. They're going to be human creations now. But there's a deeper meaning, and that is you have to make them yours. That all the hidden aspects, all the facets of this unbelievable diamond, the bright hidden lights of this diamond called Torah, become yours. You go and you analyze it using what I've given you. I've given you seichel, I've given you das, I've given you understanding. You go on your own, the tagale, the techakekem, aluach lipko. You go and engrave the Torah on your heart. I've only have to go carve it out on the stone and there was luchos sheni, but the real luchos are the luchos of your heart, your mind. Lipkhiya doesn't mean heart, it means the mind. Va'amnam. Well done, Moshe, that you broke the luchos. You understood exactly what I wanted. Moshe Rabbeinu given by Maisa Verotzen HaElyon Sherotzen Leivatzeh Hester Ponin Mesuyam B'Gilat Torah. It sounds like a bit of a stereo. That means understanding. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was Magala the Torah, wanted built in there this aspect of Hester upon him. He allowed for a Hester upon him, because in the Hester upon him, you get to prove yourself. You get to build yourself, you get to develop and show who you are, as opposed to just being a cultish, just being whatever everyone's doing, because that's what everyone's doing, and you're just like everybody else. No, you have to actually go and develop and build yourself into the unique individual that you have the potential to be. You have to be like nobody else, because you aren't like anybody else, and you have a job to do that nobody else can do, so you have to get on with the work. That doesn't happen in Lech Rishon. Why not? We'll have to also have the discussion why that can't be. But that requires psalacha. You have to go carve out the luchos. Vayedei kach yoichel yisrael lochiach es dvukosom v'nemosom l'Hashem. In that, each individual, Klal Yisrael as a whole, can therefore reveal their dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu under all circumstances. That's very, very powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. It means that each person is responsible to make sure that whatever he's supposed to be doing, he's doing, and he's building himself, and he's working, and he's very in touch with that. That doesn't mean you perish menat zibur. That doesn't mean you don't still part of Knesset Yisrael. If you're a screw in a watch, so then you can't live on your own. You've got to be part of the workings, inner workings of the watch or the motor car, whatever it is that you're the cog in the clutch or whatever. You've got to be part of the Knesset Yisrael, but you have to make sure that you, because otherwise you're going to be missing. We'll mention it later also. It's the Oasis in the Sefer Torah. If one letter is missing, the whole Sefer Torah is possible. So, but you have to be in the Sefer Torah. But you have to be the Oasis you're supposed to be. You can't be somebody else's Oasis, and you need to be where you need to be. You can't be where somebody else is. Okay. Let's take this a little bit further. We have a few minutes still. Okay, it's this pattern we spoke about. The Luchos Rishonim of the Alpaim Shnei Torah. The Luchos Rishon, we're not talking about historic here, because the Luchos Rishon got broken. We're talking about Melchus, the underlying dynamic of the Shnei, Alpaim Shnei Torah, was Begeder Luchos Rishon. And the Yemos HaMashiach, that we now, the 2,000 years, that's Luchos Shnei. ניתן לו מאוד כי הלוחס הראשונים מסמלים מסלפיים שני סתירה עד לחובן הבייס הראשון. Remember, in the first 2,000 years we lived with Nevuah, we lived with Charity, we lived with Mamash, we lived with unbelievable Mida Kenegid Nida. We go through the Gemara, go through Tainus, go through Tanakh. You see, Klal Yisrael sin, the enemies attack them, they're getting beaten, they do trouble, the enemies disappear. We see clearly the Ashgacha, Pratis and Klalis in those 2,000 years. We see miracles, we see many, many things. With the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, we see the 2,000 years of Mashiach starting. Now, the lights go off, phase one comes to an end, and phase two is about to kick in. And this is where we get to actually do what we're supposed to do and reveal ourselves and build a relationship with Sadaim, not with Sad Hashem. V'chein Knesset Yisrael sh'yira yosa ahu shal Hashem Yisparach v'chichi lo'erech kol sh'nei sagodos dveikis atzuma v'nifle b'chosa. If you go through 2,000 years of Jewish history, you'll see Knesset Yisrael has come through with flying colors. Unbelievable devotion and dedication. At Shalom Chazal, tzadikim The Midrash and Shir HaShirim says that the Tzaddikim held up, established the Beis HaMikdash more than the Tzaddik in its destruction, in the Churban, more than the Tzaddikim stood up and dealt with it when it was fully built. The Koichim Shel Yisrael, Shem Olot, Kol HaTzorah Sheto Aleim, Sorry, Sheoto Aleim, Em Noisru Ben Emosom HaMushlemes Leboris Baruch. Despite all the suffering that Klal Yisrael has had thrown at them, all of it, and we've been sorely, sorely tested. We have no intellectual ability to justify the 2,000 years of suffering we've been through. There's no intellectual justification for what Klal Yisrael's been through for 2,000 years. We can only deal with that in the world of Imuna, in the world of Sichel, that there's no ways to justify it. And yet, Klal Yisrael has stayed faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through it all. Okay. Some bought, some yet, some not. Well, that's the revelation. I'm going to stop here, but that's the revelation, the actualization, the declaring of what it is to be a Baal Bechira. Okay, let's stop there. Let's carry on tomorrow. Yeah, there's a lot to think about here. We need to see. I might take a few minutes out tomorrow just to explain just the basics of this dynamic of 1, 2, and 3, why there's this three-phase dynamic that exists in everything in the Bria. We've spoken about it many times in this life, but it may be that the people here that haven't seen it, so they don't know it. So we'll pick that up. Okay, if there's any questions or whatever now, we can deal with them. Otherwise, have a wonderful Lag BaOmer, whatever that is. Beseder. Okay, if there's no questions, everything's clear.
In the first 2,000 years of Torah, did people not coin anything for themselves?
Good. Okay, fine. I see you're tracking well here, Mickey. The none of these phases are mutually exclusive. That's another hakdama that we need. And that is everything in the Bria contains everything. It means you'll see that in phase one, you had aspects of phase two. You'll see in phase two, you'll have aspects of phase one. Let's take, for example, Tzadik V'Tovlo, Tzadik V'Ra'lo. The 2,000 years of Torah are described as Tzadik V'Tovlo, and the 2,000 years of Golos are Tzadik V'Ra'lo. That's Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was Tzadik V'Tovlo. He's going to deal with it. I don't want to go into it too much now, just to answer your question now. And there was 2,000 years of Tzadik V'Ra'lo. That's what we're in at the moment. But you do find, in the 2,000 years of Torah, you'll find examples of Tzadik V'Ra'lo. And in the 2,000 years of Yom HaMashiach, you'll find examples of Tzadik V'Tovlo. You'll always find the aspects of each system functioning in the other system as well. The phase is defined by what's the Ikka. But you'll always find, you'll find aspects of everything in everything, because that's the way the world's created. The world's created that everything contains everything. It just depends what light's shining brighter at that particular phase. If you want to make it very personal, your nose, the cells that grew your nose could have grown a toe, because the human cell contains everything needed to grow a human body. It's an amazing thing, unbelievable thing. If this doesn't blow your mind, nothing will. The first cell that makes up what this baby is going to be splits into two, right? But doesn't split into two halves, it splits into two holes. Each one of those cells contains everything. And then it splits into four and whatever. And at a certain time, the cells start knowing what they need to become. The nose becomes a nose, and the heart becomes a heart, and the toes become a toe. Nobody, by the way, knows how that happens. How does this cell know that he's going to be an ear and not a nose? And a heart, and it's very, very, I mean, it's ridiculously sophisticated. And yet each cell knows what it has to be. But every one of those cells contains every other aspect of the human being, and therefore could have grown anything. So why is a nose a nose? It's also an ear and a toe and a foot and a tooth and the moon and the sun and the stars. Because right now that's what it's shining. So that's just that's true what I just said, but it's also a marshal for what we talked about. You'll find aspects in Luchos Rishon where, yeah, but you have to build yourself. Not even a question. They all said Bechira. It was a very different type of relationship and connection to Hashem. You had Nevuah. People were Nevim. You had millions of Nevim running around. The Esther party that we deal with now is very different. But yeah, you'll find aspects of Gilui Shechina today, and you'll find aspects of Hester Parim then. But what's the Ikka avoider? Was not the avoider of being Megala the Hester there, because there was no Hester. Okay, I hope that makes things a little bit clearer and a little bit more confusing. But these are fascinating subjects. This is unbelievable. Okay, anything else? If you want to see this, the first place you need to look at it, I don't know how free time you've got on your hands.
Well, my chat speaks about this. I heard a shiur in him saying this.
The what?
I heard Rabbi Tatz explain this in the shiur, like the cells and how everything is.
His book, Living Inspired, puts the klal on the table, and he shows you certain examples. The new Sefer about darkness and dawn or whatever shows it on a more global historical level. The first Sefer looked more at things like the relationship between Pesach and Shavuos and Sefirot HaOmer, that's phase 1, 2, and 3. He goes through it more like that. But in the new Sefer, he shows it in what we're dealing with at the moment, for now, in a more historical kind of sense, is what are the ancient Knesset HaGadolah, which was the watershed of this change from phase one to phase two of the 2,000 years of Torah, to the darkness of Golus, of Ikfas and Mashiach. Right, he explains why the reason, why it's L'chadchila, and how it's supposed to happen. That's why it's...
No, he's history now.